Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
What is up? Welcome to the Los Angeles Dodgers podcast on the Believe Network. I'm JP Hornstra of the Southern California News Group. Gavin Stone is a major league pitcher. Dodgers are in San Diego as I speak, with first place on the line. Anybody heading down to Petco Park this weekend? Get your gas lamp on. That should be a fun series. Sean Green will be joining me later this episode to talk about just that, getting a little hype going. It's an easy series to hype. This is one that you probably circled on the calendar. I know Dave Roberts circled it because he shuffled the rotation just to line up his 3 best pitchers to pitch in this series. For my column this week for the Southern California News Group, I dug into the psychology of the pitch clock and how pitchers are adapting to baseball's new pace of play. The short answer, subconsciously. I didn't have a chance to speak with Alex Vesia after he pitched Tuesday night, probably because he was in the manager's office getting optioned to AAA. But he is the poster child for a slow-working pitcher who has struggled in the pitch clock era. The problem with drawing a straight line from the pitch clock to Vesia's 7.84 ERA is that it isn't always the slowest pitchers who struggle with the pitch clock. I talked to one of them. I won't tell you who. You got to read the column. Put the link in the show notes. But I wanted to bring up Vesia because it seems like the Dodgers bullpen and the rotation took a big step forward this week. And I don't know if Vesia's problem was so much that he was feeling rushed as much as he just left way too many fastballs down the middle of the plate. And his slider was purely a chase pitch, not a pitch he could throw for a strike with consistency. Now, could that be a function of being rushed? Maybe. Sounds more like a command thing to me. Not the Dodgers' problem in the moment. I know he got roughed up in his AAA debut, and you feel for the guy because he was a pretty good pitcher the last 2 seasons. Well, up until Game 4 of the division series last year against the Padres. He's a San Diego guy. You know he wanted revenge, so hopefully he goes down and gets things straightened out. On the other end of the spectrum, Max Muncy, major league leading 12 home runs, including a walk-off grand slam against the Phillies. That came on Wednesday against old friend Craig Kimbrell. if you're still calling him an old friend, my advice to you, let it go. Max Muncy enters this weekend against the Padres with 12 home runs. He also leads the majors in slugging percentage. He is third in OPS. And all of this despite missing three games while on paternity leave. I have a feeling Max Muncy and paternity leave will come up in my conversation with Sean. Only one player has more walks this season than Max Muncy, and he will actually be in the other dugout this weekend. That's Juan Soto. I know from watching Soto that his plate discipline is tremendous, but I'm hoping the Dodgers will throw him some strikes because right now he's slugging .427, very pedestrian, hitting .227, which is below pedestrian. There is very little danger in throwing Juan Soto a strike right now. As an aside, isn't Juan Soto one of those names that just begs you to say the first and last name every time? I had this pointed out to me many, many years ago. I'm going to date myself. Just roll with me. A Norman Chad column about Jeff George, who was the Raiders quarterback at the time. It seemed like he was never Jeff. He was never George. He was always Jeff George. Juan Soto, same thing. It just rolls off the tongue like one word. Juan Soto. Like it's a Japanese phrase for something delightful. Like walks, I don't know. One other thing to note. After Sean and I recorded, the Padres shuffled their rotation. So Yu Darvish is now pitching Friday, Blake Snell on Saturday, and Joe Musgrove is pitching Sunday. That completely ruins the ESPN hype email that went out to the media this week touting a Noah Syndergaard-Blake Snell matchup on Sunday night. It'll be Julio Urias versus Joe Musgrove now. Sean and I got into the whole idea of flipping the rotation around, too. Lastly, before I bring on Sean, I wanted to mention that it has been a very interesting week plus for old friends. Kevin Quackenbush, remember him? He signed with the Long Island Ducks to keep his career going. Former Dodger, former Padre. Brock Stewart, remember him? He got called up by the Twins and is pitching high-leverage relief innings with some success after having had Tommy John surgery not too long ago. Willie Calhoun, remember him? Yeah, he's the Yankees' cleanup hitter, at least briefly. Trevor Bauer, remember him? He pissed off one of his teammates in Japan. Surprise, surprise. Nathan Eovaldi, remember him? He threw the first complete game shutout of this season for the Texas Rangers. Brett Eibner, briefly a Dodger, he retired. Drew Maggi made his major league debut with the Pittsburgh Pirates at the ripe young age of 33. He was in the Dodgers system in 2016 and 2017, topped out at AAA. Drew Maggi showed that there is still time for those of us born in the 1980s to make our debuts. And that is the little shred of hope that I needed to get me through this week. All right, let's take a brief break. I'll bring on Sean.
And now I'm pleased to welcome back Sean Green. Sean, thanks for jumping on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
We are speaking on the occasion of the Dodgers' longest winning streak of the season. It is up to six games after they swept an entire homestand against the Cardinals and the Phillies. Two pretty good teams historically and last year, and the Dodgers made it look easy. The margin of victory, other than a 1-0 Clayton Kershaw shutout win, was not close in the other five games. And this one seems to me pretty simple. If you get Mookie Betts and Max Muncy and Brewster Gratterall and Evan Phillips all off of the paternity list at the same time, and Will Smith comes off the concussion IL basically like all within a week of each other, you're probably going to be a little bit better team than you were before that. I don't know what you're seeing out there, but to me that one seems like a pretty straightforward reason for rattling off six straight wins.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they're crucial pieces to this ball club. And I think one thing that most people wouldn't argue that this year's Dodger team doesn't have the same depth that the, you know, last several years have had. And there's you lose one or two key guys, it could be pretty tough to stay hot or to get hot as a team. But when you lose four or five, it's nearly impossible. So the fact that they were kind of hanging around 500, prior is actually probably a positive. And of course, when they all come back, it is hard to miss a few games and to be hot at the plate, especially. But they've done a good job and are putting a lot of runs on the board. And I think a little home cooking doesn't hurt either to get to play in front of your home fans and against teams that, there's a lot of history with, a lot of postseason, clashes over the last 15 years or so between the Cardinals and Phillies and Dodgers. So it's nice to see them step up and set the tone, assuming that those two teams and kind of get back on track and have good seasons and maybe meet again in October.
Well, speaking of postseason clashes, the Dodgers are going to face the San Diego Padres this weekend in San Diego. The Padres will have Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, and Blake Snell on the mound for those games. And the Dodgers lined up Clayton Kershaw, Dustin May, and Julio Urias to start those games. It's not really a controversy at all there. You can see the logic, but it's interesting to me that they shuffled the rotation intentionally, skipping Noah Syndergaard, giving Clayton Kershaw the extra day, giving Dustin May two extra days. I mean, strategically, I guess I could be convinced that you don't need to do that in the first week of May, but from a fan standpoint, you want those to be three really good baseball games, and to me, just lining up your three best pitchers increases the chances of that.
Yeah, I think it's important, and this is a different start to the season than we've seen in a while. I mean, the Dodgers are back on top of in the West, but at the same time, it's not, they're just above 500. They just got above 500, recently. And it's not like they're, showing what the Devil Rays or Tampa Bay Rays are doing and have some crazy record. And so I think when you're playing against a team that knocked you out of the postseason, that made some big moves in the off season, and, the Padres got off to, a very mediocre start as well, subpar by their expectations. So it actually is, I think, more of a crucial series than you normally would see this early in the season, because both teams have sort of underperformed and you want to kind of right the ship, but also knock that other, likely opponent, come late September. And you want to knock them back a couple pegs if you can.
Yeah. The Rays are off to a 26-6 start to the season. That's the kind of thing that happens about once maybe every 30 years in baseball history, if you go back. Very rare. The Dodgers are in first place in the National League West thanks to this six-game winning streak. The Padres are third, but only two games back. For me personally, I really haven't looked at the standings much at all until maybe this week. I don't know how it was for you as a player. I don't know how it is for you just in general thinking about when it is safe to look at the standings and assign any meaning to how the teams line up. But does it feel safe to you, Sean, to put some stock into where the teams are now today as we speak on May 4th?
I'm with you. I think it's really early, and I hate when people extrapolate both team and individual statistics after a month of the season, and people do it after a week, and it's crazy. Oh, this guy's on pace to hit 500 home runs or whatever it is. It's kind of ridiculous. But on the flip side, I would say it also depends who's in your division, who's the team that's jumping out ahead or falling behind. Back when I was in Toronto, and if you get the Yankees off to a great start, in the late 90s when they were dominant, then it's pretty it's pretty demoralizing knowing here we go again. So I think there is something to that. But the key is to not get too far behind and just to be in the mix. And, especially a team like the Dodgers, if they need something at the trade deadline, they're going to go out and get it. But, I always felt, and I think we talked about this on a prior podcast, but I think the key to the first third of the season is to kind of set the narrative of who you are as a team. And that's, I think that's really crucial. And I've done, it's almost like the storyline changes from year to year. And it's like 1 year, it's, oh, we have trouble with getting guys in from third base with less than two outs. And we just got to get those two or three runs. Another year, it's our bullpen's rock solid. The next year, it's our bullpen struggles. And we got to score more runs. And so there's always this, and that narrative tends to play out as the season goes on. I think not only because you're living it every day, but, you know, the media grabs on to those stories. The fans will moan, like, oh, when, you know, they feel something happening that's kind of been happening, you know, consistently. And as players, you get a guy on third base, and if the narrative's we struggle to get these guys in, you press a little bit more. So I think those things start to take on a life of their own. So I think that is more important than anything, assuming, you know, you don't fall, you know, five or six games back after a month into the season.
Yeah, you talk about the media latching onto a narrative. I saw the Yankees general manager, Brian Cashman, gave a press conference the other day essentially saying, like, don't count us out. And I'm looking at the standings. This might have been what prompted me to look at the standings for the first time all year. They're two games over 500 as we record here on Thursday, but they're in last place in the American League East because the Rays are off to this super hot start. The Yankees are nine games back, and the general manager has to come out and say, yeah, don't count us out. But if the Yankees were in any other division, they'd be in second place in two of the six divisions, and in the National League West, they'd basically be tied with the Padres for third. It just goes to show you, like what you were saying, like it's really easy to kind of spin that narrative however you want, and it really does depend a lot on the teams around you and who you're fighting to get into the playoffs against.
Yeah, I mean, that AL East is crazy, but and that's the thing is when you have five good teams in a division, and I mean the NL West is kind of getting close to that. You have the Rockies tend to be pretty far behind. The Giants kind of are, you know, you don't really know what you're going to get right now. Sometimes, you know, a couple years ago they had this amazing year and they fell back. So you still went, but you know, when anyone could beat anyone, I think those leads change a little bit. Those, you know, Tampa Bay's got a 4.5 game lead right now, and Yankees are nine back. But, you know, they start beating each other up, and all of a sudden you throw together a 7 or 8 game win streak, or what the Dodgers are doing, a 6 game win streak, then you're right back in the mix. All of a sudden you find yourself, you know, 3 or 4 games out. And that's the thing is it's so early, and it's so much of it. And you look at some of these teams, like, was it, I don't know if it was last year or the year before when St. Louis rattled off like 20 wins. Was it 20 straight wins? Is that St. Louis?
I can't remember.
Someone rattled off a bunch of wins. They got short of the whatever it was, or like some crazy. And then, you know, they go in the playoff pot. Like, the best thing is to get really hot in September and to get that mojo where you're feeling it and be right in the hunt. And all of a sudden, you can win your division by 5 or 6 games, even if you're tied going into September. And then you roll into the playoffs, the hottest team in baseball. And that's the best case scenario, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think the imbalance or the rebalanced schedule, the newly balanced schedule, is kind of throwing a monkey wrench into the equation where if you're in a weak division, you know, you can't hide it. And if you're in a really strong division, you're not going to have that bottom dwelling team to beat up on. And you're right. Like, all five AL East teams being over 500, not doing the Yankees any favors right now. And, you know, with the Dodgers specifically, yeah, they've got the Rockies there, but the Diamondbacks are looking pretty good this year. And the Padres, even, you know, quote unquote underachieving, they're still two games over 500, right in the hunt. The Giants aren't so far out of it that you can write them off for sure. So I wonder how that's going to play out as the season goes along. Clearly the Dodgers are still placing importance on these interdivision games. I get that. But there's going to be more out of division games and we'll see how that plays out. I'm interested to see it.
Yeah, me too. And that's probably one of the reasons why the Dodgers are shifting the rotation a little bit to get their best guys going is, you know, you're not playing the Padres 19 times anymore. Right. You still look at, like, back to the AL East, you're still beating up on each other, like, the times you are playing. So there is, you know, a component to that, but it's not, it's definitely not as weighted as it used to be. So, yeah, I mean, but when you got 3 to 5 good teams in the division, it's, you know, each team's, they're going to be jockeying all year. Someone's going to get hot and rattle off 6 or 7 straight wins like the Dodgers just did and jump from, you know, kind of lower in the pack to being the division leader.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to touch on the great paternity list exodus because doing a little research into this, I realized that the paternity list did not exist during your playing career, Sean. And that seems hard to imagine that teams would not grant their players days off. And I realize it's a league thing. It's collectively bargained that the players are able to get 3 days. But how did that work during your playing career? Like, could players ask and request for the time off, and was it generally granted to them?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was – so I had one daughter born in the offseason. The other was born in late August and when I was with the Diamondbacks. And so we had a – I was living still in Southern California, or she was born in Southern California. So, you know, my wife would kind of go back and forth when I was on the road. She'd come back here. And she was induced on a Friday, I think it was. And so I had a game. Actually, she was induced Saturday morning. So I played Friday night. And, you know, I was hoping to go back for a couple days. Actually to miss the whole series. Cause then the next, we had a day off Monday and then we were playing in San Diego. So I could be at home for like a whole week, but they made me fly back to play the last game. So I guess it was a Thursday, whatever it was, but I had to fly back to play Sunday's game. And then come right back with a team to Southern California to play against the Padres. So it's kind of a strange thing. Like I had to really stretch to get 2 games from them. I think usually it's like the one game that your child is born, they'll give you off. But every team was kind of different. And actually, I, after the fact, I was happy because I hit a grand slam the game I came back and so I didn't want to play in. So that worked out. But yeah, no, it was a little less structured. And so it also depended, I think, when in the season it was, how you were, you know, in terms of the pennant race. And we were not really in the pennant race or, yeah, so I think it was a little easier to get 2 days than 1 day, but we were close enough where they said, hey, you got to get back for that 3rd game.
I would have to imagine that in the pre-paternity list era, it would be harder for a manager, a general manager, team president to say, yes, 4 of you can all go on the paternity list at once, just voluntarily deprive your team of 4 guys. But can you ever remember, Sean, that many players leaving the team for the birth of a child at once?
No, I've never heard anything like that. It's pretty bizarre, actually. And it's kind of crazy to have such, you know, kind of crucial players, members, you know, in different roles that were gone at the same time.
Yeah.
That's what's even more bizarre. But I can't think of any team having a handful of players. I think you can flip it around and say, in some ways, it's an opportunity to get some guys from AAA to come in and sort of get a little cup of coffee and see what they can do. So I think that's, you know, kind of the bright side. And it's early enough in the year where you're not in a panic. But, you know, if this happens in middle of September or something like that, it, you know, it's neck and neck in a pennant race. That's, you know, the time you can't control Mother Nature when the babies are going to come.
Sure.
You can kind of manipulate it a little bit, I guess. But
well, clearly the Dodgers were not paying any caution because not only were the 4 aforementioned guys all going on paternity list at roughly the same time, one of the coaches, Pete Montero, welcomed a son into the world in the last week, according to his Instagram. And I don't know how many of those minor leaguers that got called up we're going to see back, because Yanni Hernandez, Luke Williams, even Michael Bush, sometimes you can struggle in that cup of coffee and you might not get a second. So Godspeed to them. Hopefully they'll be back better than ever. But it was a short paternity list induced cup of coffee for those guys. And you can see the difference in the team. They're liable to put up 10 runs on any given night now, it seems.
Yeah, no, they're playing well, and we want to take advantage of it before the babies start keeping them up at night, right? That was always a hard thing, actually. You don't really think about, but it's, you know, fortunately, I think most baseball wives are pretty good. Guys have resources to maybe get a little extra help or whatever, but it's definitely a factor when the sleep is disrupted at home, even if you're not the one, you know, having to always do the middle of the night work, the feedings or whatever it is, it's still disruptive. And you still have a whole other human now that you're thinking about, worried about. And that's, you know, that's something that changes things. It's probably a little bit more disruptive the first kid you have, because it's a whole new world. But, you know, every time you have a kid, it changes the game.
Well, if Max Muncy and Mookie Betts were doing what they were doing on this homestand without a good night's sleep, I can't wait to see what they do on this road trip.
Right. I know. I mean, Max has been on fire. So,
oh my goodness.
You know, we'll see how that, hopefully that continues on. But no, it's definitely been an exciting offensive team this year. I mean, it's a new look to the lineup, but you know, guys are stepping up and getting the job done, and that's why they're able to put up these runs. I mean, you get Max already got 12 home runs. I mean, it's, I don't know what his pace is, but we were talking about extrapolating out, you know, numbers, and his would be pretty pretty close to Barry's record, I'd imagine, if you start to extrapolate that out for a full season.
Yeah, if you don't count the games he missed, you're right. He's right on pace for around 72. So who knows? We'll see. I don't think he'll get there. But for a guy who's had some elbow injuries in the past couple seasons, just to show that he's capable of that even for a month has to be really encouraging for the Dodgers, because sometimes it just felt like they were forcing him in the middle of the lineup and he just didn't have the power to really justify the spot. And the lineup was deeper last year, obviously, but this year they really need him to be not just a threat to draw a free pass, but also to hit the ball over the fence, and he's been coming through.
He has, and injury or no injury, it's really tough to kind of change your expectations of the hitter. Like, you struggle for, you know, a couple years for whatever reason, then you know, the bar where you expect to be as a player, it changes. And to kind of get it back up to that level that he was at prior to the injuries and even beyond that is huge, because now at the start of the season, you know, he's not going to be pressing to hit home runs. He's not going to be searching, you know, to start the season. He's in such a good place that it really sets the tone for, you know, what I would expect, you know, assuming he could stay healthy, you know, knock on wood, to be a pretty special year for him and for the team.
Well, pretty special day for Max Muncy on Wednesday with a walk-off grand slam to complete the sweep of the Phillies, complete the sweep of the homestand, and hopefully he can pick up where he left off in San Diego. Sean, thanks as always for joining me. This should be a fun series and a fun little stretch of games here for the Dodgers now that they're getting hot.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one to watch for sure, and hopefully it'll set the tone for the rivalry that has been reinvigorated over the last couple seasons.
Absolutely. All right, Sean, thanks as always for joining me.
Thanks, JP.
All right, that'll do it for this week. Enjoy this weekend in San Diego if you are there. Enjoy this weekend from the comfort of wherever you are. Sunny days above, hopefully sunny days for the Dodgers. See if they can keep it going. Be well.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.